Hey, what's going on? This is Eric with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. I'm the head of Shark School, and I would like to give you a broad idea in this podcast about bites and why do they occur. Of course, it's very complex when we talk about bites. There's so many factors influencing these incidents that I cannot really do it in one episode here. So you really have to come back, check in, or look at our website when I'm going to talk about all the different avenues, all the different factors that are involved when it comes down to bites. So what I like to do today is give you a first idea what it's all about. First of all, it's a rare thing that a shark bites. We have between 60 and 80 incidents worldwide. Remember, we discussed the misnomer attack, and it's better to call them incident accidents. But even of these 60, 80 incidents, some people do not even carry a wound once they had an encounter with a shark. For example, a white chick just bumps into a surfboard. The surf falls off the boat, but in itself, he or she did not have an injury, but still it's considered an incident. So on one side, we have the motivation of a shark while he bites because it's curious, it's stressed out or whatever. On the other hand, we have the environment, the surrounding that facilitates such a bite. We'll come to that quite a few times as well when we talk about the different activities. It's also called the constellation of factors. So with other words, if a shark is curious and wants to check you out, does not mean he will, at the end, grab you to get a better idea and using his taste buds. Very often, the shark just shows up, as we see on a regular basis. Yeah, but that is enough for the shark, and he takes off. So the constellation, the factors influencing or affecting the motivation have to be discussed as well. Before we get into that, I would like to give you a general idea about the different bite motivations. The majority of bites are of exploratory nature. The shark tries to figure out what we are. About, I would say, 80-90% are exploratory bites. Then we have the stress bites. Yeah, we stress out the shark, and if there is nothing else he can do or she can do, it may bite. Then we have the competition. Sharks try to get fish from us, maybe a spear fisherman. And we have provocation. Provocation actually should never be a cause of incidents, because why provoke an animal? Why provoke a shark? Beside these four main motivations, we also have a motivation, it's called target practice. Well, I'll get into that later on. Play behavior. You may be surprised to hear that white sharks do actually have a fully developed play behavior. And then there's something else, another motivation, which I label claim response. Claim response has to do with competition, and of course, it goes along with kleptoparasitism as well, stealing food. So claim response, I will go into that in much more detail when we talk about some specific incidents. Okay, let's circle back to exploration. I just mentioned the shark wants to figure out what we are. And of course, he can only use as much information and sensory organs as it can. In other words, a shark cannot go out of his world and look it up, for example. So a shark will never truly understand what a human being is, because we were not part of his evolution. All the shark can do, it can compare image in a shark. For example, we splash around, we create arrhythmic sound patterns, and in the shark, these sound patterns are associated with probably a struggling fish. So the shark is now looking for the struggling fish. Of course, eventually he sees us and we do not look like a struggling fish. But that is how a shark would try to compare with what he knows and he understands and what he then sees and realizes. If the motivation is high enough, a shark may really get that close that he bumps into us. Bumping gives a shark quite a few ideas about the density of us. If we actually are warm-bodied, bioelectricity, and all these different things. And of course, about texture as well, because shark skin, you can bend a shark skin, so that gives him an idea about the roughness of our surface. Nevertheless, exploration, although it's 80-90% of all bites are of exploratory nature, it takes a lot for a shark to lower its hesitation threshold, which we'll get into a little later, and actually get that close that the animal can touch us. That's why the idea of a hit and run or bump and bite, these very weird description of sharks, that's why they're not true. You have a bump and then a bite, you don't have them. Most of the time, if a shark really bumps into you, that's that. Because from bumping and then grabbing you, they are really, really worlds in between. The good thing is, during exploratory bites, if you really want to call a bite, exploratory grab would likely be a better determination, a shark creates a very, very superficial wound. However, because he only grabs you slightly, we're able to pull the leg or to pull the hand out of a shark's mouth. So what we create is a secondary wound, the wound caused by us. So when we look at the wound, we always have to figure out what's the primary wound, what's the secondary wound. Again, it's the wound that is caused by us. Stress. Stress is another reason why a shark bites. And here we can use the term biting, because here the shark defends itself. Most of the time, a stress bite occurs in shallow water. Most sharks live in shallow water, so it's not really stressful for them to be in the shallow end of the sea. But the problem is, now that humans appear in shallow waters as well, it can stress out the shark even more so, should we actually block all its escape routes. A shark will always look for an escape route, and the last resort is, okay, it must now defend itself because it can't flee, it can't escape. We're getting close, so a shark grabs us. But stress bites, they have one advantage. We normally do not have secondary wounds because the initial bite is a little more forceful. Beside stress, we also have competition as a cause, as a motivation for bites. Competition, as the name says, the shark competes. He competes with us. Most often, spear fishermen are involved. You shoot a fish, the shark sees the fish, the shark wants the fish, well, then he fights for the fish, he competes with us. Well, the shark doesn't know what we are. He doesn't know that our skin is very fragile. So the shark will not look for the, or tries to understand the unfamiliar object, us. He uses us the same way as it would in a real competition, like another shark. That's why competitive bites are normally much, much more severe. Sometimes you have two or three bites on a spear fisherman because the shark wants to get his point across. If you're a spearfisher in the water as a spearfisher, and you see a shark approaching, leave the area upcurrent. If you already shot a fish, the shark circles around the shot fish, leave it. Give the shark the fish, because the shark will not back off just because you try to get the fish to the surface. Okay, then there is another motivation why shark bites. Unfortunately, this provocation is the fourth motivation. This provocation is on the rise. Why is that? Well, more and more people, more and more divers especially, understand sharks are not dangerous. So they start to do things that they should not really do. I mean, I understand that people want to touch a shark. I understand that. It's nothing wrong, in my opinion. But if you have a resting shark who actually sees you, but you still decide to pull the shark's tail and you get bitten, then, well, it's your own fault. The same thing if we hand feed a shark. Well, if you toy with the shark and the shark snaps, it's your own damn fault. Nevertheless, if we didn't have a headline, the headline would not say stupid diver did this or that. No, it would be shark attack. And as I said before, we don't want to know why it happened. We only want to know that it happened. So an attentive diver, swimmer, snorkeler will never get into a provocative stage or competing or stress. Exploration could be a reason, but the more you observe the environment, the more you observe the factor, which I call constellation of factors, that some factors have to come together in order the shark actually approaches you and considers bumping into you to try to figure you out. We should never forget, sharks are not stupid. Sharks are very smart animals. They survived for millions of years against all kinds of competition. That means they learn, they can adapt. So because sharks constantly learn and adapt, we will keep, or we still have, these number of bites on a practically low level. Why? Because the shark still does not know what we are. Yes, he learns. Yes, he tries to figure out what we are. And we are, most of the time, at least that's my belief, we are seen as some potentially dangerous objects. We're kind of large. Sharks have no clue what we are. So if you're a savvy predator, you better stay away from this unfamiliar object that has a considerably large size. And then, of course, what I mentioned before, we also have to include the environment. Motivation alone is not enough. But here, you know, we go from the one point in the next. How does visibility, for example, influences exploratory behavior? Or how does current influence it? Daylight hours, species comparison, and on and on. So this will be part of some of our new shows. So what I suggest is, you know, just once a week, every 2 weeks, check out what new podcast we put up there. Again, you can find it in our website. You can find it on iTunes. Our website is Let's Talk Shark. And should you have already a question about sharks, send me an email and I will either answer you directly or it will be part of one of the next shows. That's it for today. I hope you learned a few things. Tune in again. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.